Peace and grace to you from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. There was a man in the neighborhood of a Third Lutheran Church in Louisville, Kentucky, who was known by his first name to almost everybody. His name was Vernon, and for as long as people could remember, Vernon had lived on the streets. His own memory, Vernon's memory, was that it started when his mother had died and his brother got rid of the house, but Vernon could never really remember what year it was. And with the first hint of cold weather in the fall, Vernon was at the door of our church almost every day and sometimes even at night. By the time I came along, when I became a pastor of that congregation, most people at that church knew Vernon's entire life story. He always told it with this same voice. It didn't really change. It was his monotone voice and without stopping. And it usually started the minute you said hello to Vernon. He'd say, "I used to work at Churchill Downs, and then I was a bank teller until some guys jumped me downtown. And now I can't work. I had a girlfriend in Hardin County, and I took her to the movies, and my brother lives in Lexington, and he took me to Burger King on Thanksgiving. He has two nice boys," and on it went. There were lots more. It was always the same, and sometimes it was in a different order, and I could still recite it. It was like one of those jingles you would learn from commercials. But then on one November night, after a council meeting, Vernon was at the door. And this time, he wanted to sleep on the bench in the narthex. And since we knew him, Vernon, the council chair, who, by the way, was an undercover FBI agent, he said to me, "It probably would be fine." So we let him in. And as we were walking away, Kevin and I, we heard Vernon talk to himself. It was the same long litany. His life history, sort of like a broken record, it played and played. But then, in the middle of the paragraph, somewhere between the bank and the girlfriend, he said something that usually wasn't there. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for this warm place. It is so cold outside." Then he went on, right into Hardin County, and his brother in Lexington. And Kevin, the council chair, and I stood there in that dark stairwell, and I still remember it, and we felt as though we had had a visitation from an angel or some other stranger from God. "Thank you, Jesus, for this warm place. It is so cold outside." In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them, and we will make our home with them." And you know what? For that winter, it seemed that God had come to be at home with us in Vernon. I don't think it was because we loved well, but Vernon had come to live with us, and he became our teacher. His presence taught us something about God and God's longing to be at home on earth. So his teaching started sort of in earnest the week before Thanksgiving. It's the end of November in the U.S. The confirmation students had come to church to bake communion bread, and when our baking session was over, the youth got ready to leave and went to retrieve their coats, and wouldn't you know, Vernon was fast asleep on their jackets. But none of the youth said, "Yuck," although you could have imagined that they could have said it because he looked pretty scraggly, particularly that day. Instead, do you know what the youth decided to do? They wanted to give Vernon something to eat. So they went back to the kitchen and they found some peanut butter and whatever, and they made sandwiches on the bread that they had just baked. Found some cookies, there was an apple, and they put it all in a brown lunch bag, and they went back to the narthex, and they said, "Vernon," they called him, And then they handed him the brown bag, and he stood up, he took it, and immediately started to tell them about his job as a bank teller and the guys who jumped him downtown. And quickly the kids took their jackets and they left while Vernon was still talking. And when their parents asked them what they had learned about communion in confirmation class, you know what they told them? It was Vernon's lunch that they talked about. And you know, that's not a bad understanding of communion and Jesus' presence. God making home with us in the breaking of bread and in the sharing of simple brown bag lunch. Every now and then, Vernon would even join us for communion. Usually was standing over to the side, and it was clear that he quite didn't know if he should come or if he should not come to the front. But his presence with us was the story. It was the word, the teaching. And at Christmas time, people bought him presents, warm clothes and boots. He had become part of the family, and we were never quite the same since he had arrived. Now, obviously, I don't want to be sentimental about homeless people. I'm not saying that God purposely makes people homeless so that they can become teachers for the rest of us. And obviously, Vernon was not Jesus in disguise. Wasn't like a character in a story about the simple shoemaker who knocks at your door on Christmas Eve to test your response. None of that. But I do think Vernon had become for me and for the rest of the congregation a parable of Jesus making a home with us. Because it was the experience of acceptance and love and the sharing of warm socks and boots and simple lunches and the reaching beyond ourselves and our own friends to someone who simply just appeared. And he had helped us to see our church building as Jesus' warm house. And I think it awakened us to the notion that God does long to be at home on earth and with us. And we will come to them, Jesus said, and make our home with them. And before Vernon, I never really thought much about God looking for a home, because we usually hear the other way around, that someday God would take us to be at home with God. You know the Bible, the passage where Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you." But in Vernon, it kind of got turned around. We, my friends, are called to make a place for God and to believe that God actually longs to make a home with us. And we can't do it by ourselves because we are limited in our vision of whom we will bring home. But the promise that Jesus made to the disciples was this: "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." I think the visitations of the Spirit are pretty rare. And I think they come in ways that we really don't expect. They are often much quieter and much smaller than we would expect. We're a little bit like Elijah. You remember the story that we wait for the earthquake or the wind, you know, something magnificent, and we know this is it. But the Spirit often comes to us in a still and small voice, or for me, in a prayer in the darkness. "Thank you, Jesus, for this warm place. It is so cold outside." And the Spirit's visitations, if we recognize them, will empower us to be way more than just sentimental. Vernon disappeared when the weather got warmer, but that was not the real reason that year. The real reason was that he actually got a home of his own. He got a room because people in the neighborhood, churches, and community organizations bought an old city-owned building. There was nothing sentimental about that. And then they turned it into a three-story apartment building that had single rooms, like a hotel. 35 formerly homeless people were invited to call the building home. "Come see my room," Vernon called us when the building opened and the neighbors were all invited to take a tour. Each resident had a key and a bed, and they took turns working at the front desk. It was a small beginning, but for us, it was more, because Vernon had become our family. We had been blessed with his presence among us, sitting on the bench in the narthex or sleeping in our jackets, asking if we had any good books he could read. And after he got his new home, Vernon would come by every now and then, and there was always a new twist in his life story, like wondering why the weather had been so changeable, and don't we think it's because there are too many scientific experiments. In my last conversation with Vernon, he promised to give the church 50% of the winnings when he hits the lottery. Vernon was with us, and he reminded us that it is so cold outside. Outside of the embrace and support of loved ones and a community. And this happens everywhere, in big cities and in small towns, even in our community. It is so cold without anyone who cares if you are ever at home. "Those who love me will keep my word," said Jesus, "and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And today I say, thank you, Jesus, for this promise, because it is so cold outside alone. Amen.